Loud. Sorry. Hello. There we go. Okay. Until I get my head together. Okay. Today we're talking about Jesus, light of the world. How many people can read Jesus? You can read Jesus, can't you? Can you read that word? Jesus, light of the world. What does that mean?
He's a light.
He's a light. That's right. What do you think that means, Deeks? Wow, that's a great answer. Do you want to repeat that? Can you say that again?
God made his son Jesus so he could make the people, so he could shine his light, and he made the people that could shine the light too and pass on the light.
I think I'll sit down now. That's great, Jinx. That's perfect. Okay. I think that we should talk about darkness. How about you? How about you? What's the opposite of light?
Salty.
Salty. What's the opposite of light? If you don't have any light,
dark.
Good man. If you don't have any light, you have no light. Then we have dark.
Light.
Dark. Okay. Now, here in Dublin, we don't have really, really, really dark, do we? Because we've got shop lights, and we've got house lights, and we have street lights, and we have all sorts of lights. So I'm not sure that it gets really, really dark. But have you been ever really, really in a dark spot, like maybe in a closet when you're playing hide and go seek? Or have you ever been under the bed? Have you ever been any place really, really dark? Where is the darkest place you've been? Brandon, where is the darkest place you've been?
Under a waterfall.
Under a waterfall? Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I've not been under a waterfall. Where have you been that it's been really dark?
Me! Like in a shadow, you can't really see yourself, so that's where it's really dark.
In the shadow. When I think of someplace dark, I think of when I've been to Newgrange. Have you ever been to Newgrange when they turn off the lights? Or when you go to Dunmore Cave and they take you to the very, 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 very bottom of the cave and then they show you what it was like for those people and they turn off the lights. And it is so black. I can't even tell you how black it was. And it's almost like you can touch it and it's... I remember thinking that my brain and my eyes never kind of figured out why I couldn't see, and I kept going kind of in this hopeless idea that maybe if I worked hard enough, I couldn't see the kids, and I couldn't see anybody else in the tour, and it was just, I kept going, and then I finally understood when they said, you can't see your hand in front of your face, because you really couldn't see your hand in front of your face. You couldn't see anything. It was really dark. And what's the thing about dark? What's the thing about dark? It's nice when the moon comes out because then you get some light. What can't you do in the dark? What can't you do in the dark?
You get a torch and something like that.
Torches are very helpful. What can't you do in the dark? Shh, just a minute, Brandon. I want to hear what Teeks is saying.
You can't see where you're going and you can't... people and you might bump into.
That's right. You can't walk and you can't meet people. Can you cook?
No.
Can you read a book? In the dark. Amazing. You can't cook. You can't read a book. Have you ever tried to get dressed in the pitch black or tie your shoes or ride a bicycle or build a tower? Not yet, even in the light. It's very hard to do absolutely normal things in the dark, isn't it? Is it hard to do normal things? It is very hard to do normal things. I'm going to ask for 4 volunteers, and we're going to see how hard it is to do absolutely normal things if you have the dark. Who would like to be a volunteer? There are prizes for volunteers. You could be a volunteer, and you could be a volunteer, and Anne could be a volunteer. Oh, you'd be very, very good as a volunteer. Brendan, would you like to be a volunteer? Would you like to come up here with me? Would you like to come up here? Oh, we're going to sit up here. here. Would you like to come up and watch, Ethan? Would you like to come up and watch?
Two sitting here and two over here.
Okay. Okay, how many of you guys know how to brush your teeth? Great. Do you all know how to brush your teeth? Okay. Can you brush your teeth in the dark?
No.
No? No? Well, we're going to make it very challenging, and you're going to brush each other's teeth in the dark. Okay? How's about that? Well, don't you think that will be fun? I'm sure you could probably figure out how to brush each other's teeth in the dark. What do you think? Can you see?
No.
Can you see? No?
Can see a little bit, then shut your eyes. So
yeah. Okay.
I can't see anything.
You can't see anything?
Can you take the lid off to help?
Okay. Okay, we're even going to be really nice about this, and we're going to put some toothpaste on the toothbrush, unless you think you can do it.
I'm not going to try that.
You're not going to try that. Okay, over here we have two people who are going to have dinner in the dark. Dinner in the dark with candles is very romantic, but it's not very romantic if you really actually can't see anything. I don't think, particularly. Okay. Okay, now are you having trouble seeing?
No.
You're not having trouble seeing? Oh, well, we can fix that pretty quick.
Keep your eyes shut just in case you can see through it. How are you doing, team?
Okay, how are we doing? Okay, there we go. Now, Jiggs, I want you to pour. What's your name?
Amy.
I want you to pour Amy's drink. Let's pour Amy's drink for Amy. That would be very good. Why don't you do that? Yeah, there we go. There we go. Pour away. Yes, indeed. Seems to be a problem. Almost. Very good. Very good. Okay, Amy, why don't you pour for Teagues? Where is that glass anyway? Going to find that cup? How are you doing brushing teeth? Okay, why don't you brush teeth? Okay, Brendan, yeah, there we go. Can you brush teeth? Okay, why don't you brush his teeth? Well, we're not supposed to be peeking. There we go. Okay, now we're going to have a little snack. Would you like to think you girls could find the snack? Maybe you could feed each other. How about we see if we can feed each other? Whoop, gentle. Okay, very good. It's very hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very hard, isn't it? Is it very hard?
Yeah.
Would you like to go? Would you like another go? Would you like to brush? Nope, you okay? Amy, feed Tiggs. Tig, open your mouth. Come on. Very good, girls. Very good. Okay, Tiggs, see if you can feed Amy, and then we'll sit you down.
That was so easy.
Was that easy?
It was such an easy challenge.
Was that an easy challenge? Very good. Thank you, volunteers. You guys want to come and sit down? I have a little present for you for being volunteers. If you go over to Catherine, she'll give you a bar for being a great volunteer. See, there's always an incentive for being a volunteer. Oh, thank you very much, girls. Teagues, you were great. Thank you very much, Amy. Wasn't it very nice of us not to use real water? What did that show us? What did that show us? What did that demonstration prove to us? Tiggs?
That in the darkness, when you can't see anything, and it's impossible to do anything.
It's impossible to do anything. It's really hard to do even the most normal, average things. It really is, and we don't do them very well. Is it easy to write a book? Okay. We're going to talk about how Jesus is the light and how he brings light into our lives so that we can do even the most normal things just a little bit better. Okay. okay? And light in the Bible is really, really, really important because he says, I am the light of the world. And so what does that mean? I want you guys to find your Bibles. That means all you big people too. Who's reading a Bible here? Teagues, anybody? Brandon, do you want a Bible? Did you do that? Did you bring us all the Bible? Very good. Thank you. Well done. Okay. Good job. All right. Okay. Can we all turn to Genesis? Light is so important in the Bible that it is all the way throughout. There's hundreds of references. Actually, Catherine knows how many references. I think that you guys should all guess. And there's a prize. There's a prize. Who said 200? There's one guess, 200.
Any advance on 200?
300.
Any more? Any other guesses? How many references to light in the whole Bible? How many do you reckon, Tegan?
400.
400. How many do you reckon, Daphne? I mean, sorry, Dorothy.
About 600?
600. Oh, my word. They're maybe a little optimistic. The light is mentioned an awful lot, but maybe not that much. Actually, Louise was the closest. 207 times light is mentioned in the Bible. And then if you add lightning as well, it's even more. Lightning comes up a lot. But light is mentioned 200 times, 207 times in the Bible.
Do we hand out our prize? Oh, very good. Okay. I want you guys to turn to Genesis. And somebody read out the third verse. Who's a good reader? Who wants to be a reading person? Third verse of Genesis? Third verse of Genesis? Somebody want to read that out? Yeah? The Ethan and Dillis can read?
God said, let there be light, and there was light.
And there was light. Right in the beginning. Why do you think God gave us light right in the beginning? Why did God give us light right in the beginning? What do you need for life? What do you need for life?
Food.
I do. What do you need? Drink. We need water. We need food. What do we go? What goes into our lungs?
Air.
Air. And we need... That's right. And we need light. Nothing exists without light. Plants don't make any food without light. And that's what you learn in science class. Isn't that what you learn in science class? Your science teacher will tell you that you need oxygen and you need light and you need water for any kind of life. But you know what? I think God knew that before my science teacher did. I actually think that God knew that first. Okay? That's because it's so, so very important. Now I want you to flip right through the end of the Bible to Revelation. All the way over to the very end of the book, the end of the story. And we go to chapter 21, verse 23. And Anne, why don't you read that one out? Can you read that again in a big voice?
The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God is its light, and the Lamb is the city's lamp.
Wow, isn't that an amazing scripture? In the very beginning of the book, God creates the light. He gives us the sun, he gives us the moon, he gives us the stars, and all those things give us heat and light and energy, and they determine the seasons, they determine when we go to sleep and when we wake up and when we work and when we play. But by the end of the book, he says, you're not even going to need those things I created because I'm going to be it. I'm going to be the light. I'm going to fill your lives. And who is the Lamb? It says the Lamb is going to be the lamp. Who is that Lamb?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is the light, and he's going to be the light. Isn't that an amazing kind of ending? Now we're going to go to the middle of the book. I make you trot around this Bible. Okay, in the middle of the book, you're going to find a book called Isaiah. Can anybody find Isaiah? Everybody knows where Isaiah is?
Yeah.
Everybody, can anybody find Isaiah? Melinda, do you have Isaiah? Oh, good. Okay, I think it's chapter 9, verse 2. I hope it's there. There's lots of references in Isaiah, but I think that's the one I'm looking for.
Chapter 9.
Do you have it, Brandon? Is it a prophecy?
Yes.
Oh, good. Is it a prophecy about a certain special person?
Yes.
Good. Good. Melinda, why don't you go for it? Right. Okay. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Now, in Isaiah's time, had the sun disappeared? Had the moon disappeared? Had the stars disappeared? So is the prophecy talking about natural light?
Yes.
Is it? Is it?
No.
Don't think so. Don't think so. It couldn't be, because we know the sun was still there. We know all those things were still there. So the prophecy's not talking about that. He's talking about people who walk in darkness. What do we know about people who walk in darkness? We already found out you can't do much in the dark. Why were they walking in darkness? Ah, there we go. That's what you could do in the darkness. Why were the people walking in darkness? Helen. Stop laughing and answer my question. How come the people were walking in darkness? It's about sin. It's about sin. What was the state of Israel at this point? Grown-ups? Ray? You're looking clever. They're being very naughty. They're being very, very naughty, those Israelites. Okay. Now, over the family services, we've done lots of things from the Old Testament. Do we remember that the Israelites kind of like walking on the road, and every so often they go off in the weeds and they'd forget about God and they get tangled up and they'd worship what?
They worship the Herods and the Pharisees.
Well, they were off in the weeds a little bit sometimes, but they were off in different weeds. Who are the people worshiping? Did they sometimes worship great big what? Statues. And what's the word we use for that?
Yes.
Idols. Very good. Sometimes they were worshiping idols, and sometimes they got all tangled up in too many laws, and they forgot about the God who gave them light and gave them life. So sometimes they were walking in darkness. Now, along came Jesus, and what did Jesus say? Jesus said some pretty amazing things. I want you to look at the scripture that I seem to have forgotten where it is. Is it John 4? Is it John 8? Oh, very good. Okay. Who can read this out for me? I am. I am the... Okay. Patty, do you want to read out that scripture?
8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Right, the light of life. How cool is that? Isn't that interesting? Okay, what do you think the disciples thought when they heard this? That was kind of a really amazing thing to say. I am the light of the world. Not I'm like the light of the world. I am the light of the world. What do you think those poor disciples thought? I think that if I'd been one of them, I would have thought, well, that's just really wild. That's really impossible. Now, God, in his absolute wonderfulness, gave them 3 years to get used to the idea. But I'll give you an example of how interesting that would be, maybe, for me. Say that Dorothy came into the church, and Dorothy became my friend. And Dorothy and I kind of hung out, and I really liked hanging out with Dorothy because she was a great teacher. She had some amazing things to say about God. So I kind of hung out with her, and she was a really nice lady, and so I thought she was really fun. And we hung out, and then we hung out some more, and she started doing some really interesting things. She started healing people. That was kind of wild. And then she kind of started raising people from the dead. And most of my friends don't raise people from the dead. Do yours? Do any of your friends do this kind of as a habit? No. No, neither of mine. And I got kind of, wow. I mean, you know. So then I got kind of started believing that maybe she was just a little bit more special than the ordinary person. I think you'd believe that too, wouldn't you? Especially after Lazarus came out of that tomb, I would kind of think she was amazing. But I still think when she stood up and said, I'm the light of the world, I'd think, wow, that's really hard to believe. Boy, that's really hard to believe. And then there was the crucifixion, and then all the things that just really proved that Jesus was right. He was the light of the world. And I think after that, that the disciples still had a hard time. Don't you think the disciples still kind of had a hard time with that? Because it is such an amazing thing that God would come down and be a person and yet still be God. It's an amazing story. But here's something even more amazing. I think it's even more amazing. Then, if you turn over to Matthew 5, 14, Robin, do you want to read that? Do you have it? Somebody else want to read that? Matthew 5:14. Martha, do you have it? Big voice?
You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. Right. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now he turns around and says, you are the light of the world. Now imagine how amazing that would have been. Not only is he the light of the world, but you're the light of the world, and you are the light of life. And so that's a very important statement. It must have staggered those poor disciples. What a responsibility. What a privilege. How awesome. You are the light of the world. So what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Teagues, you mentioned it earlier. What does that mean?
It means that we're out to tell people about Jesus and how he shone his light so Jesus could save the world.
Yeah, that's basically it, isn't it? Isn't that basically it? That's right. He said that he would come in us. So that very person, God, that said, I am the light of the world, promised to come inside us so that we could spread that light, so we could be the light of the world. So how do we do that exactly? It's easy when somebody says, I want you to cook beef stroganoff, and then walks out of the kitchen. And you think, yeah, right, anyway, right? It's you kind of need a recipe, you know? So we need to figure out how to be the light of the world. And Catherine, my able assistant, is lighting all these candles. So we're going to use these candles to do a little bit of talk about this. How does that work? How does that work? Okay. First of all, we're going to talk about this great big candle. What do you think the great big candle is?
A big light.
It is. What do you think the big candle, don't touch, because it is hot. Remember, light is heat and energy. Okay, big candle. Who do you think the candle represents?
Jesus.
Jesus. And you notice we have three flames? Do you know why we have three flames? Because there's God and there's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's right. We have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So that's what this big candle is. Now, Jesus said, when you invite him into your life, then you have that light inside you, don't you? Don't you? And that light gives you a special kind of life. Before I became a Christian, do you think I got up in the morning and went to work and danced and ate and read books and watched TV and did all those things? Do you think I did those?
Yeah.
Before I knew Jesus, do you think I did those?
No.
Yeah, I did. I did all those things. But you know what? I didn't do them with the same feeling. I didn't do them with the same heart. And everything changed when Jesus came and was inside me. It was different. I still got up in the morning. I still took a shower. I still went to work and I still went dancing. But there was a different person in here. There was a light. There was something better in there. And I'm going to show you something else. Now, I want you to look at all these candles. Do you see a red one? See a red one? And a white one? And a kind of a posh, stripey one. All right? And what kind of one is this? Where do you think you'd see this? Where do you think you see this? Did you see this in a mine, maybe? Or, I don't know. This looks like an old Christmas carol, like a Dickensian thing, maybe. You see it? Okay. This is an older candle, isn't it? You can tell. And this is an older one as well. And these guys kind of like to hang out together, don't they? This is kind of the groupie candles. They kind of hang out together. And this is the romantic candle. It has the heart. And this is a star and the moon. Interesting, since God created them, huh? That's a Christmas candle. Isn't that fun? Okay. And we have a little church candle. Okay. Now, when I was going around my house collecting them, you know, I couldn't even find some of them because some of them just sort of sit in the mantelpiece anyway. And you know what? I didn't even notice some of them. I went around the house last night. I went, okay, where's the candles? Where's the candles? Kids, where's the candles? It's funny. Those candles have been sitting on my mantel, some of them, for 2 years, 3 years. And you know what? Because they weren't lit, guess what? Didn't notice them. Forgot where they were. Had to kind of run around and look. And isn't that kind of the same? We don't notice things so much. They're not so alive. Why do we notice candles when they're burning? Because they're light. And what else do? They move. They flicker, right? They move. They're warm. They draw you in. You notice them. When you walk in a room and a candle's lit, you notice it. When you walk in a room and somebody's got a candle on the bookcase and it's not lit, do you notice it? No, you don't even remember it, probably. Okay, that's true. Do you notice that they're all different? Yes, okay. Teagues is not the same as Brendan. It's not the same as Sala. It's not the same as Dillis. It's not the same as anybody else, are they? No. No, Ray and Julie are not the same. Nobody is all the same, but you see that light is all the same. All that beautiful light lights them up different. Do you think God wants you to be all the same? No, of course not. He wants you to shine your light all over, but be different, be who you are. Do you notice the church? Notice the church. Okay, and it's got a light in it. How many people know that you can go to church and not have a light? Sometimes you can go to church and you can go up in a church and you don't even have the light, really. You kind of lose the light sometimes. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? It's all about what's in here. And the candles kind of also represent the Holy Spirit. Because isn't that what Jesus says he'd bring in us so that we could be the light, the Holy Spirit? Isn't that what we want in there? We all want to be like those candles, all lit up. Isn't that right? So that's what I want to do today. I want us to remember that Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Can everybody remember exactly what he said? I am
the light of the world.
That was what he first said. And then what did he say?
You.
You, 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 you.
You are the
light of the world. And that's what we want to be to everybody around us. And in every situation, we want to be the light of the world. And what does that mean? We want to bring truth and kindness and righteousness and love into all those situations. And how do you think we might do that? Do you automatically know how to do that? Do you all know how to do that? I don't. Do you?
You have to let God be your guide and let God tell you what to say.
That's right. Because sometimes, even grown-ups, you don't know how to bring God into the situation, do you? You can see a situation and you think, God could really be good in this situation, but I don't know how to do it. And so you really need to do what? What do? You pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to guide you, so that you can bring God into your life. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can figure out how to do that, how to bring God and that light into every situation in our lives so that we can communicate the great I am. Okay? Everybody want to pray? Okay. Father, we just thank you that you are the light of the world, that you came and you sent Jesus, and he said, I am the light of the world. And he brought light and life, and he taught the disciples. And then he said that amazing thing to us. He said, you are the light of the world. And we just thank you for that awesome, unbelievable statement. And we all look at that and we're just amazed, Lord. And then you said that you would send your Holy Spirit because you would leave us. And you would send your Holy Spirit, and he would help us, and he would help us remember who you were and what you said and how to do it. And you said that whenever we needed wisdom and whenever we needed help and whenever we didn't know what to do, that we could call on you and you would answer because you always heard. And so we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you just send your Holy Spirit to us each and every day and every minute. And we ask that you send your Holy Spirit into our families, into our schools, into our workplaces. Help us, Lord, to ask for your help, for your Holy Spirit. Help us to be the light of the world in all our situations. Because you say, salt and light, that that's what we will be. So I ask that you help us. Help all the children and help everyone here to be lights of the world and to represent your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.